This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. The new coffee, the not the cup of brown that we used to have before, makes a huge difference to me in the mornings. I'm not a massive coffee drinker. I usually have one or two cups in a day if I have it at all.
That makes you a massive coffee drinker.
But it's become does it make you a lot? Is that really a problem?
Two cups, Cliff.
Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then so I'm a big-time coffee drinker now. But it makes such a difference to not be drinking the sludge that we used to have here. We've got this this great machine, which Chris Forrest organized for us. He came in here and explained it.
He's probably the best thing Chris Forrest ever done.
It really is, because Chris Forrest's done some great comedy, but this is the first good thing he's done for us.
Yeah, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, so really, it's called Law, L apostrophe O-R, which means gold, you know, in French. Yeah. L'or.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Can I have a cup of L'or?
And you don't drink coffee?
I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Missed out on that. Ben, I get migraines from it.
Ben doesn't really either. Not a lot.
I like a cup a day.
Yeah. And Sia?
No.
Also not. So it's really for my benefit and the guests.
I drink a lot of tea. Love tea.
Yeah, I do like tea
and
as well.
And a lot of wine.
Loose leaf tea.
So that's an important development that I thought I'd bring you in on. You know, I'd like to fill you in. Also, Jane was not here on Tuesday because of the terrible riots that were going on Wednesday, in Alexandra. So she had to get home yesterday. I had to get her an Uber. So the Uber driver wouldn't drop her where she needed to be dropped because he would have been beaten up. And had to drop her as close as he could to there. What kind of a country do we live in where that's allowed to happen? Where a private citizen who's paying money to get a lift from A to B cannot be dropped at B because, although it's close to her house, other people have decided she shouldn't be allowed to safely travel.
It makes me very angry, really.
Isn't it unacceptable?
Yeah.
Completely.
It's just barbarian and backward and stupid.
Yeah.
And it infuriates me to hear these things. And you know, you worry about people like Jane. She's got two young kids that she's got living with her. She couldn't take them to school, had to leave them with a neighbor yesterday. This is not the way that people are supposed to live. And there's nothing she can do about it. These people who are making this strike an issue and who are taking it to the levels that it's got to, where there's violence and rubber bullets are being fired by the police, this is unacceptable. And they're making ordinary, innocent people's lives a nightmare.
That's the thing. It's not just
wrong.
It's not just a pool guy who's driving around in his branded Bucky trying to run off another pool guy in his Bucky.
No.
That's affecting real people's lives.
Yeah. And it's just not on. I thought I'd mention that because there are a lot of people who, if you have someone who works for you who lives in Alex and they are late today or they didn't come yesterday or the day before, that's why. And maybe a little bit of understanding that it's not their fault is in order. You know, a lot of people go, oh, you late again or whatever. And they don't know what's going on in people's lives. Just because it inconveniences you doesn't mean that that person is trying to inconvenience you. I think that's a fair comment to make.
Sure.
There are loads of messages coming in. There's lots of news stories. We've got two of the girls from The Bachelor popping by today.
What? Yes,
and that would mean, Gareth, because it's Friday, Leanne's critical analysis of The Bachelor.
Well, we're going to save that for when the girls are here so that they can...
Oh, no. That changes everything.
Leanne is then going to present the critical analysis.
No, I can't be critical.
So who we got? We've got Annalene and we've got Tenjiwe.
Well, since they have been evicted... Doesn't that make you feel a little better? Like you can say.
You could say whatever you want, yeah. Leanne, please.
Because they're also probably bitter.
Maybe.
They'll enjoy
it.
I'd
be pissed if I were there.
A little later, George Meany will pop by for the Power Pod with all the stuff you need to know about the world and lifestyle of motoring. And we'll talk about the car of the year.
Yes. It's arriving soon.
Yes, and we'll also have the marketing manager of the company that made the car of the year popping in. With George Meany later. Isn't that exciting?
Very good.
All right, so what do you want to talk about today? What's on your mind? You know how to get hold of us, 0797482090.
This is something out of a movie.
What?
Police in Illinois in the US are on their way to Ohio to meet a boy who's identified himself as Timothy Pitson. Timothy Pitson was a little boy who vanished in 2011.
Uh-oh.
After his mom wrote a cryptic suicide note.
Uh-oh.
So There's a photograph of Timothy when he was when he first went missing, and of him now, and you can see it's the same person. So it is him.
Yes.
It's just now a formality of getting this.
But they thought he was dead.
Well, he was listed as missing.
Hmm.
So since 2011, so that's like 8 years later, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was last seen at a water park with his mother, who died by suicide days after he was reported missing. So it was really a tragic thing when it all came about.
So do you think she killed herself because he went missing?
Well, that's what it seemed like, you know, in the beginning.
God, what a story.
So he was 6 years old when he went missing. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 now.
Uh-huh.
Great match.
He has said that he is Timothy Pitson. He was being held by two men.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. He's described his two kidnappers as two male bodybuilder type.
Oh, my God.
One had curly black hair, a Mountain Dew t-shirt and jeans, a spiderweb tattoo on his neck. So he goes into great detail to describe these guys. He told police that he escaped the two men and ran across a bridge into nearby Kentucky. He also told the police the types of cars that the men were driving. They had Wisconsin license plates.
But hang on a second. So he ran across this bridge into Kentucky.
Yeah, and he claims that he's escaped from these.
But how long's it been?
Since 2011.
That's a long time to remain.
From the age of 6 to he's actually 14 now.
I mean, he could have gone to anyone's house and used the phone.
No, I think maybe it was his first chance of escape.
You mean he'd been held for all those years?
Yeah.
By these two bodybuilders?
That's what I think. That's what he's saying.
That is so horrible.
Smelt broccoli every day.
Oh. What a nasty situation. So we don't know much about what happened to him in the intervening years.
No, the police are on their way there now to figure all of this out.
What a story. You know, when I see these missing kids stories, it makes me so uncomfortable. I don't know why. Maybe in a previous life, I was a missing child. Because it's just the worst.
I think we all have that fear. Like, imagine being a child where that happens to you. Like the scariest thing in the world. Like that Madeleine McCann show. I've started watching that as well. Netflix radio is pouring it on at the moment.
You've got such a smorgasbord, Ben, of Netflix shows to watch.
I have such little interest to see people at the moment, less than ever.
So you watched the Madeleine McCann one?
We just got started, really.
Mm.
All the F1 ones just been too interesting.
I read Natasha Kampusch's book. It was called
Natasha Kampusch. She was the one who.
She's an Austrian woman. She was abducted at the age of 10 in 1998.
She preceded the whole Joseph Fritzl thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Her book's called 3,096 Days. That's how long she was held for by Wolfgang Prickopfel for more than 8 years.
Tell you what.
And she escaped.
Someone with a name like that comes to your door and says they want to sell you insurance. Send them away from your children.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this little kid, but it really is like a movie, and we will see this unfold on TV in some form of documentary, I'm sure.
Good heavens. What a story this kid pictures up. Imagine your kid that you thought had gone missing. Hello. It's his son. I'm back after 7 years.
Well, his dad's been waiting for him. He's been holding out all this time.
Shame. That is the overflow of joy that must have come out of that man. Or just sheer skepticism at first because you can't believe that it's... I mean, it's a long time
and
from
also,
2011 until now.
This kid probably doesn't know that his mom committed suicide shortly after his disappearance.
It's going to be tough.
Heavy.
Well, I'll tell you what's also tough is getting all the Marvel movies in. Do you know that they've got the Endgame coming out?
So many.
Well, in New York, you can get this. Watch 22 Marvel movies in a row.
Yeah, but you're going to need to go to the loo and you're going to need to get food.
First thing, I think the smell in the cinema is going to be revolting by the time they actually show Endgame. 22 films starting Tuesday, April the 23rd. Back to back, all of them, all 22.
Mm.
And then, this is obviously for the super fans, then they get to watch Avengers Endgame an hour earlier than anyone else.
Holy mackerel!
That sounds like a good reason.
But the smell, they have to go in there with big ventilation.
Let me ask you this. Are you excited enough about Game of Thrones to go and start rewatching previous seasons, because there's a lot of stuff. There's a huge amount of material, and I my intentions are good. I really meant to catch up because I've forgotten the whole story. Really, it's such a long time since the last season. I've forgotten. All I remember is there were dragons, and there were good dragons, bad dragons, and there's those dudes from the north. It's about, 10 days until the new season?
Well, Gareth, see, this is the age that we live in. If you go onto Twitter and you type in at TASHMONTLAKE, this incredible person has put together a thread of all you need to know about Game of Thrones. So rather than having to watch it, go through this thread and you'll know exactly what point for point.
Tashmont Lake? What is it?
Tashmont Lake on Twitter.
What a shocking name.
Well, this is a service for us all. There is a thread.
Tashmont Lake. Let me do this. I know this is going to irritate me, but I'm going to try anyway. Tashmont Lake. And then they'll summarize everything.
It's been summarized into the conversation as we would share with you right here.
So that
you get to actually understand what happens when it goes into it, rather than having to watch everything.
Fantastic. Tashmont Lake.
Because, like everything, Game of Thrones went through a bit of a dip and a bit of a plateau and a bit of a overindulgence here and there.
Oh, yeah, so Tash Montlake is actually an assistant director on the show and photographer as well. So she gets a lot of behind-the-scenes pictures.
So Tash Montlake is really putting it together for everybody. How about that for useful?
All right, very good. Thank you, Tash Montlake. Yeah. How cool is that? Huh. And she's basically unfolds the whole story. Great. I don't need to go and watch. Thank God. It's such a weight off my shoulders. You know, these are the pressures of it being a 21st century human being. Is you feel an enormous pressure to keep up with things like Game of Thrones, which have no real import on your life. But if you don't do it, you feel left behind.
So much TV to watch.
Oh, I've been watching Schitt's Creek, which is...
What is it really called that?
It's called Schitt's Creek. S-C-H-I-T-T-S Creek.
Like the saying, we're really up Schitt's Creek.
It's hilarious. It's about this family of four, the mom, the dad, and the son and the daughter. And they have lots of money. They own the second biggest video chain in America. And then obviously because it's a video chain, it goes out of business. And they get cleaned out. They have to sell everything. Word. And they move to Schitt's Creek, which is a village the father bought for the son as a joke for one of his birthdays. It's a little town, a little shitty one-horse town. And they have to live in the motel in Schitt's Creek. These four people who've been used to this glamorous life in New York. And you hear their story and it's just absolutely fantastic. The acting is amazing. You know Eugene Levy?
He was an American Dad.
That's right.
No, it's an American Pie.
American Pie.
That's the guy. sorry.
He and his son, Daniel Levy, wrote and both star in it. So it's his actual real-life son, and he plays his son.
Jim.
In the show. Not Jim from American Pie, no. But it's really good. Just watch it. You'll love it. I got into the first couple of episodes, and I haven't been able to stop. And it's one of those shows that you watch because they're short. They're like 15, 20 minutes maybe. And you watch an episode, and then you just let the next episode start. And before you know it, it's 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, my word. You've wasted a whole day.
It's incredible. All right. Very good. What else is going on?
I had a good story. No, you first, Leanne. You first.
Oh. So much to choose from this morning. I've got something. I've also got something. You go first, Leanne.
Okay. Thank you. This silverback gorilla has been filmed. Okay, he lives in a zoo, which is a little bit sad, but he does have his partner there, and he has befriended this extremely tiny little bush baby.
Oh,
it's so cute!
It'll be cute until he eats it.
No, he's not. Really? Man, he eats plants and things.
All right,
but the pictures are just amazing. Just to see the size difference.
So the two of them are mates.
The two of them are friends. Okay. Little. Tiny. So it's at the Mefau Primate Sanctuary in Cameroon. And the site coordinator caught it on film. And the video follows Bobo the ape, around with his little miniature bush baby. So a bush baby is a primate as well.
Sure. Different kind, though.
Yeah.
And a bush baby can fit into the palm of the hand of this gorilla.
It weighs 198 grams. That's generally, I mean, they haven't weighed this one. But
a cup of coffee weighs that.
And it's basically the size of one of his fingers, the gorilla's fingers.
Wow.
And the two of them are just little besties.
It's amazing.
Just on that story, remember, May 28th will be the third anniversary of the passing of Harambe, the great Harambe.
Yes, let's all remember. So hashtag always
never forget. And I would like to know, that 17-year-old little shit who climbed into that pen that day, what has this kid achieved? If this kid hasn't achieved cancer by May 28th... cured cancer by May 28th. I've done something really great for society.
Then it was not worth sacrificing Harambe.
Yes.
We should put the child down.
So TikTok, that little shit, who's 20 now.
Who climbed into that cage.
What have you done?
And made them shoot Harambe.
Yeah. Sorry, that's something I feel very passionate about.
Right. Absolutely, Ben. I can hear the passion in your voice. Can I tell you a quick story about Prince Harry?
Yes, please.
Prince Harry has come out against Fortnite. You know, Fortnite's...
It's a game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a game. A lot of people play it. A lot of kids play it. And Harry says Fortnite should be banned.
What does he know?
Well...
Booze.
I agree. He's been playing it himself.
He knows booze and birds.
I just want to say I agree with Prince Harry. Children shouldn't be playing Fortnite. Instead, listen to me, children. You should be outside riding on your pony, sailing on your father's yacht, attending the theater, or learning how to shoot deer in grass with the groundskeepers. Not playing Fortnite. I had no time or interest for computer games when I was growing up, Harry. I agree with you. I spent most of my childhood swimming or boating on our family's lake or riding around the grounds of our estate in my uncle's old golf cart. You know, simple pleasures. What is wrong with the children of today?
The story sounds like 4 days too old.
Genuinely, he said he doesn't like these games. He says it's bad for kids.
Okay, Harry, go to a council estate and you go tell a kid to get outside where he's going to get stabbed. Fortnite makes him feel like you.
Oi, Prince Harry, you can fuck off and all.
Yeah. And give me your trainers.
Give me your trainers or I'll fucking knife you.
Oh, my word.
Oh, that's actually quite something from Harry.
That's good, huh? At least he's coming out strongly against something. Yeah. It's always good to do that.
Have they decided what gender they might assign their child?
No, that was all bullshit, apparently. Apparently, the whole story about the child not being raised in any particular gender was complete nonsense. It was like a joke that was put out, or someone wrote it to cause trouble on purpose, because Meghan Markle said it's absolute nonsense. I mean, can you imagine?
I reckon there might have been some truth in it towards Philip then.
Philip quickly reminded them that car accidents
both
happen.
Of them. They both stood in front of him, and he went with one swing of his fist.
What did you say? Fantastic.
Well, Britney Spears has checked herself into a mental health facility.
Oh dear.
Where she'll spend 30 days.
Maybe that was what DJ Fresh was referring to.
I think DJ Fresh was referring to a physical ailment, because there's a video of him further down his feed where he said, don't wait until it's too late to get help. And he's on a drip. And then he's speaking in the video, but I haven't heard the audio yet.
Oh. Wow. All right, because Fresh put out this tweet, if you don't know what we're talking about how like he's had the worst 3 weeks of his life and he hasn't replied to any emails or messages and he just wants everybody to feel, that he's taking care of himself now. He's having a tough time. And yeah, so we were trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with DJ Fresh. But if you know, then maybe you can let us know. You can tell us.
I wanted to tell you, speaking of kidnapping stories, a woman has been, a Californian woman has been kidnapped during a safari in Uganda.
Oh boy, this is not going to go well.
No. Her and another person were kidnapped during safari. There's been a demand of ransom of $500,000.
All right. Is she worth it? Have you seen pictures?
That's not very nice.
Sorry. It's the first thing I think.
So her name is Kimberly Sue Endicott. Oh. She was on an evening game drive.
Yes.
In the Queen Elizabeth National Park.
Yes.
So you would think that was completely safe. She wasn't roaming the streets of the city.
Of course, yeah.
Her and the senior guide who was behind the wheel of the vehicle were abducted at gunpoint. An older couple made it safely out of the vehicle, and they were rescued. I mean, that must be something.
An older couple made it out, but she didn't?
Yeah. Wow.
But also, the older couple are really...
Just want to say it's a bit embarrassing that the older couple made it out and she didn't.
Let's just say that they're really resilient, because they had to wait in the bush after contacting a camp manager to tell them about this harrowing ordeal.
God.
So the reason, the police do believe that the reason for the abduction was simply the $500,000 ransom.
Of course, yeah.
They used a victim's cell phone to call for the demand. And the armed gang has made frequent demands for this ransom.
Sorry, then, you said, was that in Uganda?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently the police say that they're not going to pay it.
What would you do if someone called you up and said they had your mum?
Yeah, it must be so bizarre to try and believe it. The instant shock confusion.
Maybe you've got property, so you could sell that and give them the $500,000. I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money in rand.
Yeah.
We're talking how much is that in rand? We're going to do something dangerous here and pull out our calculators. I'll try and figure it out quickly. Hang on. 500,000, and then we multiply 14. It's about 7 million rand.
Jeez, like
maybe a little more. So that you couldn't just suddenly get 7 million rand. None of us could, right?
No.
Only really, really, really rich people could. So
if
they kidnapped your mother, what would you do? Would you pay up the money? Would you find a way? Would you sell things? Would you take out a loan?
Definitely, I do.
You would. You wouldn't just say. You wouldn't say, "Look, Mom, sorry."
No. No, definitely not.
Really?
I would
we should stop giving criminals ideas on a Friday.
Yeah, that's true. Oh gosh, yes.
Look at all this. Yes, I'll pay, I'll do anything.
But my mom lives in Jamaica, so you'd never be able to kidnap her.
My mom's a black belt and she owns knives.
Yeah.
My mom has pet tigers.
Carl says, I watched the whole thing, Schitt's Creek. But it was terrible. I couldn't stop watching it. But it was really, really silly. All right, fine.
Okay.
You're not a conflicted individual sometimes.
Not for everybody, all right? And Leanne's also got a great story about a man who allegedly poisoned his co-workers' food and water for 17 months. Now, if anyone's going to do this, and again, don't give ideas to criminals on a Friday, but I'll fucking kill you. If you poison... I've got a laboratory. I will study this. I got such a cool little thing. It was a cheap little thing I bought on the internet. It's a microscope, but it connects to your computer.
Ah.
So it's got a little stand. Mm-hmm. And you point it at stuff, and it arrived yesterday.
I follow quite a few beauty blogs.
Yeah.
They're doing it where they're analyzing their skin under the microscope and stuff.
So it's fascinating. I was looking at my arm. I was looking at... A leaf.
Oh, you must look at the pores of your nose.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't know if I want to do that. But it can zoom 2,000 times? That's a big magnification, you know?
Very cool.
You get pretty close to things then.
Well,
I'm going to look at insect wings and all kinds of exciting things. I'm very excited about this little microscope. But try and poison me. I will find you, and I will find you, and I will kill you.
So how would you know you had been poisoned if you found cadmium?
I know cadmium.
Do you?
I know cadmium. Cadmium's in the same group as zinc on the periodic table.
Sounds like a nice knitted thing for this time of year.
You find cadmium. You find
cadmium. I'm a little cold.
You find it in some batteries. It's used to make pigments, cadmium red and cadmium yellow.
Look at you.
Yes, it is a very, very dangerous, poisonous metal, and all of its salts are toxic.
Yeah.
And the smallest amount...
can cause cancer.
Right. The smallest amount of cadmium can kill you.
Jeepers. And this guy was getting cadmium for how long?
Well, it was actually a guy who was poisoning a woman. He was putting it into her water. These two work together, right? They're engineers, and they're not like...
Why not just say, hey, can I be moved to another department?
Yeah, well, get out of my face. You move. So, yeah, it's all in court at the moment. The guy who's been arrested is David Xu, XU. Mm-hmm. And they have video footage of him putting something into her.
David Xu put cadmium in what, Elizabeth's water?
Yes.
Jesus, I knew those two were up to something.
So for 17 months it's been going on. His bail is currently set at $2 million, that is. His next court appearance is in May, so we'll hear about that there.
Cadmium is not the best thing to use. I'm not going to give ideas to criminals on a Friday, Ben. Don't panic.
Okay.
But there are things like the Russians have used some stuff recently that's a lot better, and you use much less, and you only need to do one or two doses.
Look at you, Gareth. Common industrial uses for the toxic metal are in batteries, solar cells, corrosion-protecting coatings, and the substance is also used in pigments.
So you don't have...
Look at that.
I am a Google for stupid shit. You don't need to have Google with me around. I see people searching. They just say, you know, cadmium, Gareth, and I'll spout forth with unbelievably pointless, useless shit that will never do me any good, but it'll help you win a general knowledge quiz.
Or kill someone.
Did I tell you I once won a pub quiz with three other people? And then we just gave away the prizes because the point for us was to win. And the prize was like diving in Mozambique or something. We just gave it away to the team who came second.
I got kicked out of a pub quiz once.
Did you show your tits?
No. Oh. I just kept on saying, can you repeat the question, please?
The whole time?
The whole time.
Were you drunk?
Yes.
That's great. Oh, that's fantastic.
It was somewhere in the bush.
You got thrown out.
Yeah.
Did they ban you? Did they ask you to leave?
No, they just said, look, I think...
This woman is spoiling our quiz.
Yeah.
God, that's funny.
We're just going to go ahead because you're delaying it,
that
they said.
That is hilarious. Oh, my God. All right, well, maybe it's time for Leanne to give us her Bachelor update from last night. She's the only one who watched it last night. The rest of us were all busy with stuff. Ben was at a dinner.
Oh, this is a golf thing.
Golf thing. Sia, you watched. Oh, Sia watched it as well. Okay, so Sia and Leanne can update us on what happened on The Bachelor. And as I said, we're going to be joined by two of the ladies who were on The Bachelor, Anlene and Tenjiwe. We'll find out about their own exciting journey on The Bachelor and what they think of all those other girls who are still on there. Mm. Hopefully we'll get some honesty and they won't just be nice about them because they know more than we do.
So what happened last night?
Yes, no, let's do this properly, Leanne. It's time for... All of those people who didn't watch it last night, this is your regular update. You know, we try to bring you all the important information. The Bachelor. All right, go ahead.
Thank you for that. So it could be divided into three last night.
All right. Very good.
Sorry, I'm drinking this.
You're getting nervous?
Askies.
It's her nerves.
I'm drinking this fake lemon drink and it's... causing me issues. Anyway, all right, it can be divided into the pancake session.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The Zimbabwe session.
All right.
And the cocktail making session.
Sounds very, very exciting. Let's start with the pancake section.
Bright and early in the morning, it started with Lee making pancakes just outside the house where they're staying.
Mm-hmm. Was he wearing just an apron?
Because it was an apron with hearts on it, but he had clothes underneath.
Okay. I was also waiting for a moment like that, but alas, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
We apologize for Leanne's noises.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on.
What is... Okay, let me save her a bit. So Lee started off in the morning with Lee making pancakes for the ladies. The ladies were actually surprised by this. So
they had no makeup on.
They didn't know that Lee was going to be there so early in the morning.
Oh, Leanne, please.
Sorry.
So it was all of the ladies still in their pajamas.
I feel so much better now. Oh, wait.
Happy 420.
Did you clear out your chest a bit there?
Yeah, I did.
Feeling better.
Sorry.
So,
yes.
So Lee says, now we down to six. Okay, six girls. He got to see the girls without their makeup. He made pancakes he said...
got to see them without their makeup.
I can't remember. There was one lady who actually said, and I don't even have a bra on.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, girl. I would also be ticked off by that, actually. So, yeah, there was a whole cooking session with pancakes. Remember that movie Ghost?
Yes, Demi Moore.
And...
At the pottery wheel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a moment like that with Michelle R. and Lee. Oh. Lee was... helping Michelle make
Michelle
pancakes.
R.
flips the pancake.
I think he likes her quite a bit. I mean, she's stuck
in
there.
He does.
Huh? She's done well.
For extra cheese and corniness.
Oh, extra cheese.
They actually made a heart-shaped pancake.
Oh.
And Lee
said... it together.
Lee said, there's blueberries in here. Okay, so...
What did Lee say?
There is blueberries in here. He also said, I know you slightly out of your comfort zone.
All right.
I actually thought it was sweet. I really
it was very sweet. But yes. In the end, he took Well, we've been saying that Gareth has all the jizzes on on his list.
I've got Jazan and Gina and Jenna.
But it's actually Yazan.
Oh, shit.
All right, so you don't have all the jizzes. You've got two jizzes in a year.
All right.
Okay, so Yazan, who's now affectionately known as Zani, she's actually really loved by everyone in the house and is apparently a very humorous person.
Hold your horses, because we'll find out.
We'll find out the real truth.
I mean,
But they went to a beautiful resort.
Is that what it was called?
By both, in Zimbabwe.
That's how it was described.
Yeah. Also, Yazan revealed that, you know, she's scared that she's going to get hurt as well.
There was actually a very sweet moment, though, Leanne, I have to admit. So it was a private date between Yazan and Lee, and the letter said something along the lines of, you know, love has no borders. And so that meant that they went to Zim and Vic Falls.
Yeah.
But while they were there on their private date, they started talking about vulnerability and an actual relationship forming. Lee officially admitted that he is falling for Yazan.
Yes.
Oh. That's the first time we actually hear of like proper emotion, not just like a
he also
we're dating.
Explained his family situation a little further.
Okay, what did he tell?
Where he, you know, we know that his dad left him and his brother at a young age.
All right.
But then he reveals that his mother turned to certain addictions.
Yes, that was confusing.
The
to
bottle.
Me.
I don't know what sort of addictions could have been anything.
I actually
and
made
he
a note
doesn't
of
speak
it.
To her anymore.
I remember that because Lee said that his mother got into bad habits.
Sorry, bad habits.
We don't know what that is.
Gambling.
Sorry, it's habits.
Could be lots
my
of
bad.
Things. How exciting.
I mean, that's quite awkward. But then they also say that the door is open now. And their relationship with feelings. So who?
Oh yeah, this is the most appropriate music. So they were gone for the whole show, the two of them. The poor girls at the house were just like twiddling
sitting
their
looking
thumbs.
At each other.
Yeah. And finally, they did come back, but they'd spent the night.
Two nights, actually.
Oh, that's true. Mm. And the girls said, like, what were your sleeping arrangements? And Yazan said, no, we slept in the same room. Mm. And then she said, I'm joking. So everyone relaxed.
Bitch.
And then it went to cocktail evening.
Yeah.
And there were some comments like, how does it smell like?
What?
I think what was meant was, what does the cocktail smell like? And
how
also,
does it smell like?
Let's see how it tastes. Anyway, so Jackie got a rose just for making the best cocktail.
Which one's Jackie again?
Jackie is the Portuguese teacher.
Right, okay, yeah.
A little, she comes across as insecure,
looks a bit like
but
Gollum.
She's
yeah, I got you.
Put
right.
her foot down and said, I'm not insecure.
Right, I got you.
Because Gina became a little bit too analytical of Jackie, and Jackie put her foot down and said, I'm not all those things.
All right.
Anyway, sure. And then they did a bit of salsa, and as Yazan said, I can't salsa, I can soki. So she admitted that she was, you know, had two left feet. But Yazan was visibly upset by the fact that Jackie got a rose.
What
sounded
did
like
Jackie
the
worst word to stall on. Worst
she got
word.
More.
She got a cocktail rose. Oh. And then it came to the proper rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And
anticipation building.
Anticipation building. Yazan's happy she's got a rose. Jackie's happy she's got a rose. And there are four girls who are left without roses.
Boy.
And who's going to go home? Not one of them went home.
Ooh,
it was a non-elimination round.
Plot twist.
So, yeah, Yazan was very upset about that after all of her 2 days of hard work in Zimbabwe.
All right, well, I want to know what it feels like to be on this show and especially to get one of those, you know, you can
roses.
Go...
You,
well, no, cocktail roses.
No, to get one of those you can go home kind of looks from Lee, which has got to be, it's got to be sucky.
Oh, my word, yeah.
She just walked in here, and Annalene is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You really are very... like, television is... It's unbelievable how when you see people on TV and you think, wow, they're good looking, you meet them in person, they're always better looking. That's what I've found anyway. Because TV's not kind to anyone, but you look great on TV, and you look even better in person. So, first of all, welcome. Second of all, what do you think of that summary? Do you think that that's a very good summary of yesterday? Did you even watch the show? Do you care anymore? Or have you boycotted it since you were thrown off?
So I never watched the show again.
Oh, really?
You're bitter and twisted about it.
Yes.
fuck Lee, right?
I should watch it, though, for Women Tell All, but haven't yet.
So are you going to get called back for a final episode, yes, and you're all going to have to tell the real stories?
Yes.
And how exciting.
It's going to be interesting.
Annalene describes herself in your biography that obviously everybody reads before the show starts as an easygoing intellectual with an adventurous side. You're an excellent 30 seconds player. And if you weren't an accountant, you would be a medical detective. So these are all very exciting things. What was the vetting process like? And why did you enter? Because a lot of these girls have told stories about how they were looking for love. And some of them just wanted to be famous. And some of them wanted to try television out because it sounded like something that could be fun. What was your motivation and how did the whole vetting process work?
Wow, they actually said that. They wanted to be famous.
Some of them did, yeah. Some of them you can tell. Just watch the show, you'll see.
So honestly with me, mm-hmm, everything just happened.
Okay. Did someone throw you in the net or what?
Yes, so it was my sister.
Oh.
So she wanted a rose from these guys who were doing promos outside our office.
Uh-huh.
And to get a rose, you had to enter.
Okay.
So I entered just to get the rose.
And so you got more than you bargained for because
yes,
they then chose you.
I didn't expect it. The next day I got a call and then a follow-up and then interviews. And every time I went for it, I thought I wasn't going to get it.
But you're taking a huge chance on this because not that you were particularly vested in, you know, you had a vested interest in winning this thing. You obviously weren't as interested as some of the girls. But you don't know who the Bachelor is, do you?
No.
So you could be going into this. You might end up with some thick-necked rugby player,
mm-hmm,
or some very, very creepy dude or someone who you don't find attractive, even if they're attractive to everyone else. So you don't really know what you're in for.
That's true.
So when you saw Lee for the first time, did you go, oh, okay, this is probably better than I thought? Or did you go,
We had the worst expectation, but they told us they will show us the picture first and mm-hmm, then we get to agree if we want to be on the show.
Oh.
Oh,
yes. Oh, thank God. Because if you'd looked at it and you thought, ugh, not for me,
yes,
then how would you manage on the show? It would be horrible.
Then you're acting.
Yeah, and that wasn't your gig.
No.
So how long did you last in the show? I'm trying to think.
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Three episodes.
Fun experience, or what's it like being with all these other girls?
It had its, like, everything, ups and downs.
But I'm trying to get to, is it a comfortable situation? Because I find the whole thing a little bit artificial and a bit weird. You've got all these girls vying for the attention of one guy. It's usually a whole lot of guys looking for the attention of one girl. That's the normal societal thing. Especially if you're a good-looking woman, and in your case that's true, you must get a lot of attention from men. Now suddenly you find yourself in this unnatural situation. A whole bunch of women, and you have to basically fight for the attention of this one guy who you're not even really sure you like that much.
That's very true.
It's weird, right?
It is very weird. Living in the house was... It was a lot of effort, you could say. I'm not sure how to say it.
Did you have to share a room with someone?
Yes, you share a room. You
who
have
did
no
you end
phone.
Up
You have no media, no, you can't watch TV, you can't do anything, basically. Oh. You can't speak to your family at all.
It's like being in quarantine.
Yes.
That's horrible.
And I think they do that because you can, you know, women, we just look for things to fight about. So mm-hmm, I think they do that because of that.
To stop you from fighting with each other?
No, to start us fighting with each other. Because we have nothing to do besides talk about each other.
So there are no distractions.
Yes.
So out of boredom, you start picking at one another.
That's very interesting. All right, so any of these girls immediately rub you up the wrong way? Were any of them immediately the kind of girls that you could have been friends with?
Definitely friends with.
Uh-huh. You don't have to mention names. Don't get nervous.
It is a bit annoying how some people are portrayed on the show compared to what they actually like.
So you mean that they might be editing things to make girls look nicer or worse than they really are?
Let's just say they don't show the bad parts.
Oh.
Mm.
Who did you have to share a room with?
It was actually a lot of girls. We had probably...
It's like a dormitory?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's no way for you beautiful women to be treated.
No.
Like soldiers at war.
Think about it, guys. It's like one house and the geezer.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah.
You had to wake up extra early so you could get in that bathroom first.
Even if I woke up early, it's still cold water.
Oh, no.
And then somehow you'd also have to look glamorous and fabulous for the cameras because you can't show.
You're eating diet food and...
Leanne.
Diet food?
Leanne, just imagine.
I'm so glad I didn't enter.
It's healthy. It's not McDonald's or that you like.
Life is hard enough when you're competing with all these other girls for the attention of The Bachelor. But then you also have to have cold water.
Diet food.
Diet food. And you sharing a dormitory with God knows how many women.
I'm very glad I didn't enter. I'm glad I'm watching it from my couch with copious amounts of wine and a notepad.
So how much time do you actually get to spend with him?
It's only in the rose ceremony.
That's it?
Yep.
You don't see him the rest of the time?
No. Unless you get a one-on-one date.
He could basically be with another girl the whole time and you wouldn't even know.
He could be.
No.
We don't know.
Jeez.
Would you say you felt anything towards Lee now?
No.
Okay, I'll take that so there are no feelings for Lee.
Hard no.
Did you ever have feelings for Lee?
You can't really say that. You barely know the guy. Looking at him.
Some honesty. Because I watched this show and it's unbelievable to me. These girls are talking about love and they're saying this is the man for them and they want a long-term relationship with him. And I'm thinking, how?
I guess it's the things he says. He tells you what you want to hear.
Do you think he's scripted? Do you think they sit there with him and they say to him, you've got to say these nice things because this is how that we ratchet up the show?
I feel like he's learned a lot of pickup lines. He's probably Googled it, pickup lines.
Oh, shit.
Read this.
Did you feel like you were being played? Did you feel like you were being played?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Well, I can't really say that. But I know in terms of what I said at the end when I left.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Just remind us, a couple of weeks ago now.
Oh, so I'm the person that called him out on bullshit.
Oh, so he probably is not in a hurry to see you again.
No.
You haven't bumped into each other since the show?
No.
I like that you were honest at the end there. That's very good. Are these other girls being honest?
So far, no one told him anything. Everyone was just hugs and they were sad.
Then I hear all of what you're saying. Do you think it's possible, not judging anyone, but do you think it's possible to actually have a genuine relationship come out of a situation like this?
Not for me,
okay.
Personally. Especially watching him kiss all the girls. I think that would be such a put off.
Mm. Are you in a relationship at the moment?
No.
When last were you?
A year and a half ago.
All right, so it's been a bit of a dry patch, and The Bachelor didn't help, right? Now, since the show, though, you must have got lots of attention. Suddenly, people in your office, people who you normally socialize around, and they wouldn't have treated you any differently. Are you getting different responses from, first of all, your friends and the people you actually do know, and second of all, other men who suddenly saw you on the show and now they're treating you differently?
Not from the guys. Mostly the ladies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's because most guys don't watch the show?
No, they do watch the show.
Oh, okay. So
I think most of the guys actually don't like Lee.
Oh, really? Are they saying horrible things about Lee?
Yeah.
What about the girls? What are they saying? And how are they treating you?
They like the show. So I think I got a lot of followers now that are female after I stood up for myself.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing. And have you had anybody give you a negative feedback about your role on the show?
Yes.
What have people said?
You do get comments.
Yeah.
But...
Are they mean?
They are mean.
Are they about the things you said? Or is it about the dress you wore? Or is it about the way that
It's definitely not the dress.
Okay. All right, so it's definitely about the things you're saying.
It's how... The show also portrayed me because they tried to make me look like I was crazy, and some people believe that.
Does anyone in the studio think that Annalene was crazy during the show?
Well, like Annalene said, she didn't have enough time to judge Lee. I haven't had enough time to judge Annalene, so you never know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think as the show goes on, from what I've seen, you're right. Everyone is portrayed in a certain way.
Sure.
And that is TV, unfortunately, and that's what you're kind of going to get yourself into. So yeah, it's going to be very tough to kind of look at that, and that's why I find it interesting that you haven't watched it as you've come out of this thing.
Yeah, you don't care anymore at all. She's very against the show now. So when you go back on the show, what do you think you need to say?
I have no idea.
You're going to say, I don't care about all you people.
He did say I was needy. And that's kind of a statement I can argue on.
Okay. Because you
have barely
an argument.
Know someone and you're calling them needy.
Because I remember Lee saying about you, you're a beautiful girl, but in his words, I have my concerns about her.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a loaded statement.
Big category. So we played our own Bachelor game here where we all had names on our list. And when you went, it really was one of Sia's last opportunities.
Oh,
He's got two girls still in the game. Ben is completely out. He's the only one who's really watched from the get-go.
Well, I cursed everyone like I cursed sports teams, basically. Okay. Yeah.
That's right. Whenever Ben backs anybody, they're out. And Leanne has still got Michelle R. Mm-hmm. I've still got three girls in there. Now, who do you think is most likely to end up being the one he chooses? Do you have any preferences, any bets that you would like to place?
I can't say.
Oh, because you know.
Oh, do you know?
Of course. Do you know?
Oh. No.
No. How would you know? Would you know? You know.
Oh, my gosh.
She's nodding her head.
Oh, no. She does it. Wait, I'm so good.
So, come on. Tell us now. Do you know or do you not? You don't have to say who it is. Just say yes.
I can't say anything.
At all.
Can't say anything.
Can't talk about it.
When are you filming the Women Tell All special?
It's in May.
Okay.
Okay, a question that I'd like to add to this.
Go on.
So overseas, as our critical analyst Leanne told us, that the Bachelorette comes from the contestants on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Would you ever want to be the Bachelorette?
A part of me would like to be the Bachelorette, but I don't think I'd want to kiss so many men.
We always talk about that as well.
That's an interesting answer.
But if you're kissing like four people in like one day, or like, say, just say 3 days.
First of all, it's quite unhygienic.
Very unhygienic.
Yes. Yeah.
Leanne, would you have a problem with being the Bachelorette?
I didn't have a problem with it at the Jolly. You know?
And there weren't TV cameras, so yeah, why would you have a problem with it? All right, well, this is very exciting. And Annalene, I believe Tenjiwe was meant to come with you, but she's backed out. Yeah, it's kind of like she didn't do well on the show either, so I'm not surprised she backed out of this one. At least you're here. All right, so you're going to go back on the show, and then we might talk to you again afterwards.
Okay.
Okay, but your day job is you're a very serious person. You actually have a real job. How did your job respond to you taking off all that time to be on this ridiculous show?
So my managers were very excited about it.
Oh.
They were...
Supportive?
Yes, very supportive.
Fantastic.
They actually thought I'd have my phone so they'd give me advice on how to get this guy.
And you're an accountant? And you're an accountant?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what do you think that this teaches us about human relations? As a woman who goes onto a show like this, you probably observed a lot of what the other girls were doing. Mm. What did it tell you about the way women behave when there's a man in the mix?
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
It's all about faking it.
Wow. That's not very good feedback.
I know.
I'm worried now.
But honestly, it's...
You never trust people's motives.
The people that made it this far...
Yes.
...are not themselves.
Oh. Oh, shade is being cast. That's true. Come on.
Like the girls who are currently in the house.
Yes.
Like Gina... Michelle R.
Mentioning any names.
You can't mention names, yeah.
Fake bitches. That's what we're hearing here. That's what I'm picking up that you're putting down.
Clutch my pearls. This just got saucy.
Annalene, that's terrific. Thank you so much for coming to see us this morning. We all are we're trying to watch the show every other week, and I think a lot of South Africans are very into this because it is really about people, and it's about people's relationships. And I hope that your hopes and dreams with respect to relationships or not having them all come true. Is there any man who's made a move since the show?
No.
Nothing? Dry?
No, it's been dry.
Are you looking or are you not?
Well, so far, we're actually not allowed to date.
You're not allowed to date? Like
even afterwards?
No, so it's after Women Tell All.
Then you can start.
Yeah.
So are you going to open the floodgates then? Because you've probably got a bunch of men banging on the door at the moment.
No one I'm interested in.
Okay, so these are guys, but they're not guys you care about. You were hoping for higher quality men, right?
Yes.
Yes. I understand. All right. Good for you. Well, I hope that all of that goes well, and we see you on the Women Tell All show, which is happening in May, and then we'll get you back in here for some proper gossip.
Are you guys coming for it?
Hell no. See how we'll go.
Like, we don't really get invited to these kind of things.
No, we do. We just say no.
All right.
Oh, and I never say no. I'm the new Jin Su Helco.
All right. So Sia will be there. You can wave to him from the stage, and he will obviously speak to you afterwards about getting the real gossip. But thank you.
You better be supporting me.
Well, of course. I mean, especially if you can run for the Bachelorette, then we're interested. All right. Thank you, Annalene. It's time for us to check in with George Meany. Let's grab George's attention, bring him in here. It's a big day today because we're going to speak to the winners of the South African Auto Trader 2019 Car of the Year. That's right. They won by a healthy margin. I'll tell you who they are in a moment. Sought-after award presented at a spectacular night at Shepstone Gardens in Johannesburg, a beautiful venue. And George is here to tell us more. Yes, what a big Friday this is. George, hello, and good morning and welcome.
How's it, Gareth?
So, let's start with the big announcement, because there was a big event, and the winners, Car of the Year, are... Dun-dun-dun-dun!
Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Yes,
the A-Class, what a beautiful car that is.
Oh, it is, it is. I mean, you know, in my opinion... that's just my personal opinion. Two shapes ago, the Mercedes A-Class looked like a loaf of bread.
I remember that. Those were not nice.
They were not nice cars. No. I didn't like them at all. But this one, I must be honest, is a worthy winner. I think it's a worthy winner. And Miles is here with me that accepted the award last night, and they're over the moon.
So, Miles, congratulations. Obviously, you are the marketing manager for...
Mercedes-Benz cars, yeah.
Okay, very good. So do you run all of these different Mercedes models and makes that we see on the road? I mean, are you in charge of marketing all of them?
Correct, yeah. For all passenger cars, the
right,
vans,
not trucks. I mean, Leanne was interested
trucks,
in the
vans.
Trucks.
We're
not talking about that. Okay, so what makes this A-Class special, and why do you think it won?
I think the evolution, as George alluded to, from the two previous models, by the way, my mother-in-law still drives that one.
Oh,
the
goodness,
old one.
I'm sorry.
The old one. It was very popular, the old one, because of the height.
Yeah.
So we sold a lot to female customers at that point in time.
Tall women.
So they could fit in.
Yeah, it's like a little mini bus, mummy's taxi kind of thing.
Sure.
And the evolution of that model is a big jump from the previous model to this model now, which is our 2018 model that won. It comes with a functional call MBUX, which is connecting the car to your lifestyle. So it has natural voice command. You can give instructions.
MBUX, Mercedes-Benz user experience.
That's it.
Sure, look at me
I
deciphering.
I thought it was bucks.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Well, I mean, before Miles carries on, you can change the color of the dash, right?
Yes, correct.
Of this car. So if you don't like red, you can go for it. I think there's kind of like 64 colors or 256 colors or something.
There's plenty of colors to choose from. And it's simply by giving the instructions saying, hey, Mercedes, please change the color of the dash. Please play my favorite song. So it has built-in intelligence. But absolutely.
It's like Siri.
It has the AI intelligence in the UX.
See, I'm amazed. And George, you can back me up on this too. Even a relatively cheap car these days is so technologically advanced that anything 5 years ago that would have cost 20 times the price of that. Just seems like a clunky piece of steel, right?
Well, I mean, I think the technology is moving from the drivetrain to the software.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get to electric cars at some point. And that's two motors. It's not really too big a deal.
Yeah.
Where the technology's got to go somewhere, and it's going into all of the stuff that we get.
It's not far away.
But it must be nice to market cars that are actually really good. Because if you were marketing, I don't know... a Renault Espace. I don't know if you'd be so excited about that. I don't know if you were marketing
sure somewhere in the world the Renault Espace.
The Nissan Almera. I'm sure that someone cares about these. But, like an Uber car, a Toyota, whatever they are. Yeah. One of those Ubers. Hard to find something to get excited about there.
Well, this Merc you can get excited about. It is a beautiful car.
All right, so Car of the Year, what does this entail, George? What does it mean?
Yeah, so so for the first time in the history of the competition, in over 30 years, we introduced the public vote. We got over 55,000 votes from the public.
Incredible.
And we're thrilled that Mercedes-Benz participated to the level that they did. And then the second thing we introduced was category winners. Mm-hmm. So we introduced categories as well, and those categories you know, took awards home last night with everybody else and the podium winners. So so in third place we had the Volvo XC90, right. Second place the Porsche, and then in first place the Mercedes-Benz.
Fantastic. I'm going to quote from George and what he said. The Auto Trader South African Car of the Year has to represent innovation and ingenuity, two things we've already covered in this discussion. While setting new benchmarks in its market segment, there is absolutely no doubt that the A-Class does this. So, high praise indeed. Congratulations.
Thank you very
well done,
much.
Miles, and well done to everybody at Mercedes-Benz for producing something people really love and want.
Well, the Mercedes-Benz took a second prize last night, and that was the Family Class Sedan.
Yep.
Which one's that?
So that was one of the category.
No, which car?
Oh, the same, well,
same A-Class. Same A-Class. Wow, yeah. You won two awards for the same car.
One night.
Very nice. Yeah. All right, what else is going on, George?
Well, that's what our week has been consumed with, was getting this done. And
what do they retail for? I mean, like, what are we talking about with this this particular model?
Well, you're looking at about 500 plus, depending on what you want. So entry level from 500 plus.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty damn good. And who are you guys worried about in terms of competition? I mean, do you care about the competition? Are you busy doing your own thing? Because Mercedes seem to have a unique market position where they occasionally, to people like me who aren't particularly well-versed in this stuff, almost they look like they don't really need to compete with anybody. But then I do see occasionally there's some competitive advertising from other people who are trying to pit themselves against you. Are you thinking about anyone when you enter these awards, when you see what you're compared with, when you hear what people are comparing your car with on Auto Trader, for example?
Yeah. Let me answer that from a global perspective and then mm-hmm. a local perspective, because the global perspective is very different. The competition in the global perspective is more the tech companies who are now coming into the space of transport and mobility. They don't have big ships to turn around. They don't come with previous cultural barriers.
We're talking about Tesla and
Google.
You're
talking about Google, Tesla's, right. Facebook, whoever's in coming into that space, they're coming at the rapid pace, mm-hmm. and they really, really, really know what they're doing in the tech space. That's from a global level. Local level, it is obviously a few steps back from that. We do look at a competition closely for us. The competition is very relevant in the space. In the hatch is a very competitive segment.
Mm-hmm.
You have the VWs, you have the popular makes, the Opels, so on and so forth, where the A-Class is competing in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, at the end of the day, we're happy that the public is, but at least appreciating our efforts from a product marketing perspective. That we're doing the right things and getting them into our brand, hopefully.
The A-Class is a new entrance to the hatch, right? I mean, it's a baby.
Yes.
Hatches have been around a lot longer than the A-Class.
Sure.
So it's new territory for Mercedes. I mean, the C-Class was where the buck stopped a number of years ago before the Brayton A-Class.
George is very disparaging about this previous model.
One is like 10,000 times better.
For sure. So what kinds of things? I mean, you mentioned how that dash can change color, and people like that kind of thing. That's important these days because these are the sorts of personalized effects that people want to have. It's like people want to have the, you know, their phone look a certain way. They want to have certain apps on there. Where do you think all of this is leading? George hinted already that we're going to eventually end up in cars that are electric, that don't need a petrol engine. But technologically, what are people asking for in the interior of cars? What kinds of features and effects do you think are exciting going forward?
Mm.
And what are Mercedes-Benz working on?
So I think it's about hyper-personalization, where the vehicle knows exactly at a simple command or a simple behavior that you, or a simple gesture exactly how your seat should be positioned, mm-hmm. what temperature the car should be.
Mm-hmm.
The car should be actually cooled already, the interior cooled already before you jump in. All technologies that exist. We have an app called Mercedes Me, and that allows you to control your car outside when you're not in your car. So you could be sitting here in the studio knowing that you're going outside for a meeting in 15 minutes, but you want your car to be at the right temperature.
Cool down.
So you, mm-hmm. you basically just go onto the app and you can start that process.
Jeez, and to think that my cigarette lighter is broken and I can't even charge my phone in my car.
Well, wireless charging now is a reality.
I can play a CD.
Well, you won't need so a cigarette lighter.
Play a CD. So tell me about wireless charging.
Wireless charging is you put your phone onto a platform in the mm-hmm. car. You don't need cables.
But where it will pick is it on the sort of armrest or
correct? Where? It's isn't it at arm's
on
length.
The console.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to struggle with cables. I mean,
I love that.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah,
it's fantastic. And this integration between a phone and a car is obviously a very exciting thing too, because there are safety. Effects and safety advantages and features to this that people might not have thought of. If everything is kind of voice activated, you don't have to look at screens.
That's correct.
You don't have to be disturbed by stuff that might take your concentration off the road. But you can have all the features, or at least many of the features, of your phone on your car dashboard and available in audio, right?
Correct.
Well, I suppose there's two tracks there, because the one is get the distractions out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is accept the fact that there are going to be distractions and people want to look at their phones and have the cars drive themselves.
Well, that's obviously a little way down the road, but not too far.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people probably would use their phones for the enhancement of driving too, whether it's to play music, whether it's to read navigation. I mean, we're all doing this anyway, right?
Yeah.
People are all using Waze or Google Maps or whatever else they are to get from A to B.
Yeah. Sure. And I mean, I think an important part is the phone integration with the car, you know, and having a seamless transition between your phone and your car, and not having to see your car as a separate piece of technology.
Yeah, but that means that the car manufacturers have to be talking to the phone manufacturers, and they all have to be very open about this.
Exactly.
And help each other, which well, isn't right. always the
that's,
case.
That's where Miles says these new players in the market kind of move faster, because it's hard for the legacy brands to accept that and to change that ship direction.
Well, Miles, well done. And George, thanks for coming in to share this with us. I'm very
Thank
excited
you.
to see the car and to pay more attention now that I've known it's won awards. I'm one of those people who goes, oh, it won an award. Now I better pay attention to it. So thank you very much for coming, and thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Very Cheers, nice. Girl. George will be yes. back for another episode of Auto Central Monday morning. Don't miss that. It's time for the unnews. Here's the important stuff you need to know this morning. And if you want to know anything about what happened on the show this morning, anything that you missed out on or that you want some clarity on, you want some more information, go to cliffcentral.com and you can find that and a whole lot more. All right, here it is. Joe Biden continues to get a lot of heat around being touchy-feely. He's naturally defending himself, but he isn't exactly Bill Clinton, to which Bill sent him a box of cigars and said, "Draw harder." Cinemas in America are gearing up for a Marvel marathon to lead up to the final Avengers Endgame movie. All 22 movies will be shown back to back, with special merchandise being sold on the day. Captain America adult nappies, Hulk piss bottles, and Iron Man feeding troughs are all available and all necessary for the event. Conor McGregor says he's retired from MMA, but continues to challenge high-profile individuals into fights. He said he wants to fight Hollywood actress... actress? Mark Wahlberg. something that has naturally caused a bit of a stir. He said he will fight anyone in the interest of good TV, which opens him up to a number of individuals. Caitlyn Jenner is even rumored to want to get in the ring for this, something that will make McGregor even richer than Floyd Mayweather would have. Imagine.
Oh, what a great idea.
We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend and be good.
This is CliffCentral.com.